new tradition in our church, and that is when a baby is born, and we hope many babies will be born here, that we sing the doxology. So let's sing the doxology for Hannah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you. Well, Thanksgiving is a special, meaningful time for us, I know, with food and family and friends, and for a few of us, maybe even football. But there's another side to Thanksgiving. It's easy to thank God when there's a nice meal in front of us. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 talks about giving thanks in all circumstances. Not just when there is plenty, but even when there are plenty of problems. How can we do that? How can we thank God in all circumstances? That is our focus for today. We think of the pilgrims and what they went through, going across the Atlantic Ocean. Did you know that the pilgrims set sail at the end of the growing season? What a great time to set sail. They had all kinds of delays. They couldn't stop. And so they set sail at the late season. And their supplies were diminished when they set sail, so that they actually knew that they did not have enough food to go through the winter. In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, a gale came. It was probably the remnants of a late season hurricane, and it shattered the ship, almost caused it to flounder, and they sailed on. Can you imagine 57 adults, men and women who were pilgrims, 31 children. Can you imagine taking care of 31 children across the Atlantic on a boat with waves that could be 25 feet high? For all that time, 2.5 months of crossing the Atlantic, they didn't have any warm food because they didn't light fires on a wooden ship back then. And then they navigated in an incorrect manner, and they were not able to get to their real destination, which was Virginia. Instead, they came to cold Massachusetts. They arrived in the middle of winter. Four of their number died before they even reached the shore. One of them was Dorothy Bradford, the wife of the future governor, William Bradford. And they were at harbor, ready to disembark, and she slipped over the side of the ship, and some people think she committed suicide. You can, if that's true, you can get a picture, a glimpse as to the emotions that must have been going on in that boat, the feelings that they went through. William Bradford writes in his chronicle about seeing the shore, and he says there was barren wasteland. It was a wilderness. There was no inn, no people that welcome us. And you can sense that they had a fear as they were trying to survive in that environment. When they went on shore, the first thing they did was to go on their knees and thank God for the full voyage being over, but because God was still with them. But then almost immediately a great sickness began to come across the pilgrims, and one after another fell ill, unable to get up and do anything. Only a few were left standing, able to help the others. And it went on like that during the months of February and March of 1621. Sometimes two and even three of them died in one day. The rations were down so low that they had only 5 kernels of corn per person by the end of winter. And by the time that first winter was all done, half of them had perished among the pilgrims. Yet that autumn, they met together, and they had a special day of Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. And we wonder, how could they do that? They suffered so much loss. How could they give thanks in the midst of those circumstances? Meanwhile, across the ocean on the other side of there was a terrible war that began in Europe. Began in 1618, and no one knew when it began that it would go on for another 28 years and become known as the 30 Years' War. It was a terrible conflict that decimated Europe, Some historians think that the population of Germany, the German states, fell from 16 million people down to 6 million people in that time of conflict. And then there is the city of Eilenburg, where it was particularly hard hit. Eilenburg was a walled city in Germany, and so people flocked to it thinking they could find refuge with the walls all around them, but it just caused overcrowding and famine and sickness, and many people perished there. There's a pastor, Martin Reinkart, in that city, and he and his wife did what they could to help the refugees year after year after year. But in 1637, there were so many people that died that he would bury 50 people in one day. And sometimes it was just impossible to face the next day, especially after his wife died during that famine, that time of strife. And then that particular year, 1637, 4,480 people were buried by Pastor Reinkart. Can you imagine going through that? Yet in the midst of all that, he wrote the hymn that we sang in the beginning of our worship service today, "Now Thank We All Our God." He went on in his hymn to say, "Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next." And you wonder, how could he do that? In the midst of war, suffering, human insanity, how could he write a hymn of thanks to God? Well, that's where today's scripture comes into play. It's from the prophecy of Habakkuk. I'll read the scripture for you and what it says for today from chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. 17 and 18, excuse me. But then I'll put it in its context in describing the whole prophecy. Listen to the word of the Lord from Habakkuk 3, 17, 18. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior." Habakkuk is different from all the other prophets because the other prophets would speak messages from God to the people. They say, "Don't do this, do that," God warning the people, Judah and Israel. But Habakkuk is different because here we find not a message directed to the people, but it's a dialogue between the prophet and God. Habakkuk is speaking to God and God is answering back. Habakkuk is bringing questions to God and God is replying. Habakkuk looks at his nation all around him and he says, "It's full of violence. There's injustice everywhere." And so he brings it to God. "Why don't you do something about it?" he says to God. Chapter 1, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? You cry out, I cry out to you, there's violence, and you don't save. Why do you make me look at injustice? And why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me everywhere. There's strife, there's conflict. The law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails." And then he gives his complaint to God and waits. And then God replies, "But I am doing something about it, Habakkuk. I'm going to send the Babylonians, and they're going to bring judgment upon the unjust people in Judah." When Habakkuk hears those words from God in his heart, he says, "How can you do that, God? The Babylonians, of all people, they're more unjust than the people of Judah. How can you send them?" And he goes on in chapter 1, verse 13, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous?" And he puts that before God and waits for God to give an answer. And then God answers him, and he says, "Well, the Babylonians are going to get their turn. They're also going to be judged." And Habakkuk then thinks about it, and he says in chapter 3, "I stand in awe of your doings, O Lord." He senses that God is working his purposes out that are greater than he can understand, than he, Habakkuk, can understand. And then he recalls in chapter 3 all the doings of God in the nation of Israel in the past, how God led them through the Red Sea, how God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. and he praises God. But he's still afraid because he knows the Babylonians are going to come. And in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, I heard and my heart pounded these words from God. The Babylonians are coming. He knows that he himself is going to go through that invasion. There's going to be rape. There's going to be murder. There's going to be looting. And he gives way to his emotions. I heard, my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound, and decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. But yet he knew that God would do a providential work through it all. And then in that context, he says, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. And then he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Habakkuk was able to give thanks to God in all circumstances because he knew that God was there in all circumstances. Yes, he had to face the fact that the Babylonians were coming, and he didn't go around saying, praise God for the Babylonians. Praise God for the Babylonians. He wasn't like that. No. He had to deal with his emotions. He had to ask his questions. He expressed himself to God. Why are you doing these things? Why do you care? And God interacted with him, and there was a dialogue going on. And as that process of struggling with God and God's providence came in his life, he responds back to God, and he increases in his faith. And he comes and he says in chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous will live by faith. He comes to that conclusion. He realizes that God is still there. God is still doing things. God is still faithful. And we can still trust in God. And that gives us a clue as to how to be thankful in all circumstances. It's to remember that God is still there in all circumstances and has not forsaken us, has not left us. So thankfulness is not some kind of automatic response of politeness we give to God for the good things we get in our life. Thank you, God, for the goodies. Here's my thank you note. That's not what thankfulness really is all about. It goes deeper than that. Thankfulness flows out of our living relationship with God, out of our experience of the living God in our life, so that every day as we experience God and we experience God's grace and we have moments of peace and goodness and wisdom and love in our lives because of God in our lives. Then when the tough times come and we can't see straight and we can't think straight, we still remember God is there. See, living by faith is not living by sight. It means that sometimes we will not know what the future is. We will not feel confident about our decisions. We'll be disturbed. We'll maybe be upset. It'll be like holding on to a hand in the dark as we go across a field in the pitch black. But it'll just be knowing that God is still there, even though we can hardly sense God sometime. In a particularly difficult time in our lives, my wife Sally and I remember we just sat down and we just looked at each other and we felt like God had abandoned us, like there was no God caring for us anymore in our lives. It seemed like that. And we had to say to ourselves, no, God has not abandoned us. God is still there. God is still faithful to us. We had to remind ourselves of the big picture, that the providence of God was still at work. Christ is still praying for us. It says there, Christ Jesus, who died and was raised to life again, is sitting at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. In our times of crisis, nothing can separate us from those prayers, from that love. No matter what crisis we go through, we may not be able to see straight or think straight, but we can remember that Christ is praying for us. Robert Murray McShane, the famous 19th century Scottish preacher, said, if I knew that Christ was in the other room praying for me and I could hear him, I would not fear a million enemies. Then McShane goes on and he says, but Christ is praying for me. We need to remember that God has not forsaken us. God is still there. And thankfulness flows in the difficult times, because we remember that the providence of God is still active, even though we don't fully understand everything. Well, Habakkuk wrote down his words, not as a private prayer journal, but because he wanted others to read them as well. There were others in Israel, or Judah, I should say, that were struggling with their understanding of what was happening in their nation. They would struggle even more when the Babylonians came. And so he wrote down his encounter with God, his dialogue with God, so that these godly people could be strengthened in their faith and come to a point, even like Habakkuk did, of finding joy in the midst of difficulty, where he says at the end of those words, at the end of his words, though the fig tree does not bud and there be no fruit on the vine, and then he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. He wanted others in his nation to be able to have that joy in the midst of difficulty by trusting in God's providence. And he wants us to do the same as well. You see, the pilgrims, that's what enabled them to be able to thank God, even though they suffered so much loss. And that's why Martin Reichardt, in that hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, why he wrote that hymn in the midst of the 30 Years' War. Because he wanted German Christians to remember there was a God in the midst of human insanity, a God that they could rely upon and trust. And they all want us to remember the same thing in our own lives, to give thanks in all circumstances. No, it can't be manufactured. We can, by force of habit, thank God when something bad happens. The doctor says, I'm sorry, you have cancer, and we can then say the next words out of our mouth, thank God for cancer. But oftentimes, there's a lag between the cancer and the knowledge of it and actually saying thank God despite it. Our emotions are the process. They have to work through everything before we can actually see God's hand and God's help in the midst of all the difficulties. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Habakkuk understood those words. And we struggle with the circumstances of life. Yes, it is easy when there is a nice turkey in front of us with friends or family with us. And we say, thank you, God, for everything, for the plenty. But can we say thank you, God, when we have plenty of problems? That's what we need to face in our lives. How can we do that? Let's pray together. Oh God, we think even of our missionary workers like John and Gail Hutchinson, who spoke last week of living by faith, but the other side of it, not just the triumph of faith as being mission workers, but also the difficulty, the ambiguity, the uncertainty, the feeling exhausted kind of feelings that come to us when we live a life of faith, trying to do your work. Help us to have a realistic understanding of thankfulness, that it comes and is born out of our living relationship with you, as you are there and you remind us of your presence in our lives. Oh God, help us to be a thankful people by going down deep in our faith with you, knowing, as Habakkuk has said, the righteous will live by faith. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.